Welcome to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. This is Latricia, international best-selling author, of course, podcast host, jewelry designer, stand-up style, and also I am, as you know, an endometriosis advocate as well as an empowerment speaker. Let's jump into this week's episode. This week's episode, ironically, we're going to talk about some things that happened while I was gone. I took the, in case you don't know, welcome. I have been doing Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. This is season 3. Season 3's episode 1 just aired 2 weeks ago because I took the month of January off, which is something that I planned to do, and I talked about it back in December before I closed out season 2. So season 1 I started honestly as a kind of a journal for myself after I was officially diagnosed with endometriosis. I've had endometriosis unofficially since 2005 was the first time I heard about endometriosis and possibly having it, but the only way to officially be diagnosed with endometriosis is through a laparoscopic and or surgical procedure. I did not have that done until August 2019, so about 18 months ago. This is when I was officially diagnosed. And I just made the podcast, honestly, because I wanted to share my feelings about it and also keep up with my progress after my surgery. And as you know, people who don't have endometriosis or don't know that much about it, sometimes they don't always want to hear about it, or they're not always as helpful or as, what is the right word I'm looking for? Concerned, or as, I guess I'll say, caring as you'd like them to be some of the time. So I said, I am going to do a podcast and I'm going to talk about my feelings and talk about what I want to talk about and just, you know, record my feelings, how I'm feeling, how my progress went after surgery and all of that, so I can record my feelings and I don't have to talk to an actual person as in terms of, you know, a friend, anything like that. Because they probably get tired of hearing about it and they don't know, and you're not always wanting to explain yourself fully to someone that doesn't understand, or they'll be like, okay. I do have, you know, honestly, there are some amazing people that I have that, you know, do understand and listen to me, so I should not, you know, it's not like I don't, but sometimes you just want to talk to people who understand you, which is why I'm so blessed to have all of you. You guys understand, a lot of you have endometriosis, so you understand exactly what I'm talking about. And I still do explain things, but you obviously get it, and that's the most important thing, is to have someone who gets it. So I decided I was going to take January off because there are just so many, January is just so busy for me, and it was going to be crazy busy. And I always want to give you guys 100% and the best of me. So I just did not know how I was going to fit that in January. It's a new year. New things are happening. So as I mentioned in the opening, I don't, some of you, if you've listened previously, you may or may not know. But I am now a best-selling author internationally, which is amazing. I'm so proud. So I took January off because I honestly ended up releasing first book. It is a collaborative project, so I'm one of the co-authors. So that is just something that I am so over the moon about, being a co-author. And it is just an amazing, amazing experience to be part of a book project. It's something that Honestly, I did not have on my radar to become an author. It is something that was totally came out of left field to become an author. It is something that, honestly, it was a vision that was given to me to become an author. So that was given to me last year. I can't remember exactly if it was before or during the pandemic, but somewhere around the time, I would say it's probably, I can't remember exactly if it was, what month exactly it was, but I do remember, you know, how it happened. I don't remember the exact, I know it was a Sunday. I don't know exactly, you know, the month or anything like that. I do know the day of the week and all of that. Very interesting in terms of that. I was honestly, it's very, writing a book is just a different experience. Honestly, it's something that just is totally different. I don't know how to explain it. It's something new. And so I am just very happy and blessed to be a part of it. So that's one of the, you know, one of the reasons I picked January off is because of that. I knew I was going to be super, super busy with that. And just, you know, we're in the new year. And I just know I have a whole lot of stuff going on. I had just, I'm like, there's just a whole lot of stuff going on in general. So I wanted to make sure that I could get everything done when I ended up coming on here. So I wanted to make sure that everything was good. So that's why I took January off. There wasn't anything wrong or anything. I just decided that I wanted to take time off to focus on my book. And we did the release. We did a virtual release because, unfortunately, we cannot do in-person release because we're still in the pandemic. But the book is Women Inspiring Nations, Volume 3. I'm still standing. And I am selling the book. My link is in there, but it is author-letitia, L-E-T-Y-S-H-A, .square.site. And ironically, my chapter is called Journey to Strength with Endometriosis. So I do share about some of my journey with endometriosis. So I hope that you will support me and check out the book. It's amazing. So we did that. Our book is just an amazing book. It's very, it talks about women inspiring nations. So it is a book, it is all female authors. There are 45 of us. And we just share all, we all have different journeys that we have taken, a wide array of subjects. And we just tell our story and, you know, how we're still standing. And the reason that I did the book is the same reason that I do the podcast, do empowerment speaking, bring awareness to endometriosis. Endometriosis is something that affects 1 in 10 women. We need awareness. We need a cure. So whatever I can do to bring awareness, I'm going to do it. So I am trying to get awareness of endometriosis out there. I'm using my voice both. I'm using my voice both written. I'm using my voice vocally. Whatever I can do to get more support for endometriosis is what I'm doing. So we did that. That was fun. January. So also in January, so we did the book, which was fun. I'm kind of disappointed. We didn't, you know, of course we're in the pandemic, but I would have loved to have celebrated a real book launch, which I'm hoping that at some point the pandemic will be over. I can do a physical, in-person, real book launch and celebrate. That is amazing. So I did that in January. Also in January, I am working on second book. So that was the first book. Also working on the second collaborative book, which also, ironically, my chapter is going to be about endometriosis as well. That is going to be a little more in depth. It's going to be a longer chapter about my journey with endometriosis. And so I'm going to talk about that more in a preview, in a future episode, I should say. And ironically, I'm going to talk about that in an episode, honestly, that's coming out exactly a month from today. I will talk about my new book because it will have launched then, and I'll talk about our book launch then. It's coming out in March, and I'll talk more about that book then, but that's something else that's in January. I love that it's launching, and it's Endo Month, Endometriosis Month, so I'm talking about all things Endo, so I'm talking about a book. So honestly, I guess the 27th of the month, both in February and in March, we'll be talking about my book. So that's what I'm doing, is books, starting in the books to try to get the word out more and all of that. So I will be talking again about my new book, my newest book, I guess I should say, not next episode, but the following episode. So I'll be talking about my new book on in March 27th on that episode. We'll be talking about the new book. And talk about, you know, again, we'll be talking about Endo Month. I'll be talking about Endo Month next episode. So, talk about, you know, all different things Endo and just how things are going. But I feel that it is so important to lend your voice to projects that will get traction and let people know about what is going on with endometriosis. And we need a cure, we need a cure, we need a cure. So I feel like I've had people tell me that they don't know what endometriosis is, and they have either reached out to me to find out more about it, or they've reached out to me to tell me that they've looked it up and have read about it. People know about it, or they know, I guess I've had people reach out and tell me that they know about it. Either they have it, or they know someone who does have it. So I feel like there is awareness, but not that much. So I'm trying to get the traction to get more people to know. 1 in 10, 1 in 10, 1 in 10. Again, I've talked about it several times. I feel like that is a very, very low number. I feel like there are a lot of women who are not getting diagnosed. And we honestly just need to do something. Lend our voice. Do something. What can we do to make a difference? For we know what endometriosis is like. We live with it every day. There's not a day that goes by that we are not reminded, or that our body does not remind us that we have endometriosis. We do have days that are better than others. And honestly, reading other people's story about endometriosis, honestly, I really can't complain, even when I had my bad days, because I know that there's some people who have it worse than I do. So I really cannot complain. But endometriosis is something that does not go away. Even depends on where your endometriosis is. It's not like it just stays in our uterus, our fallopian tubes. It can be everywhere. It can be, you know, I hear people talk about it's been in their lungs. I've read that. Some people talk about, I read a story the other day, someone talked about it was in their bladder. They're trying to remove it from their bladder. So it's not like it's just in one spot and it's this nice, neat little disease that stays right there in our uterus and our fallopian tubes. And once you have a hysterectomy, then all of your problems are solved, like they try to tell us. That's not the case. It can be anywhere. We don't know all of the places that it is because we're not necessarily checked all of the places it could be. How many people honestly are checked to see if it's in their lungs? I mean, it could be somewhere else. How many people are checked to see if it's in their bladder? We are only checked where it is supposed to be, and that is only, honestly, average person, 8 to 10 years. I did not get my surgery until 14. So it took 14 years for me to finally get a diagnosis and get laparoscopic surgery. And that was only reason that I had laparoscopic surgery to officially diagnose for endometriosis was because there was nothing left to do. Last resort. Nothing else. No more tests to run. No more specialists to see. Honestly, I had taken birth control pills. They tried to insert an IUD, could not get it in. There was basically nothing left to try. They had tried everything. They had done all of these tests. That was like the last resort. And the only and to add on top of that, this severe pain and problems that I was having sent me to the ER. I had to go to the emergency room. It was so bad. So something was getting worse. Those are the only reasons that I went and had the laparoscopic surgery. Otherwise, no. Never would have gone to see, never would have had that operation if I had not, I feel like if I would not have gone to the ER, and if, I just feel like that was like the breaking point. It was a breaking point for me, and I felt like the doctor felt like she had to do something, and surgery was the last option that she had. If I had not gone to the ER, I feel like if I had not gone to the ER in the summer of 2019, honestly it was June 2019, I feel like if I had not gone then, I still would be undiagnosed officially. I would still be told that I have bad periods. I'd still be told that having bad cramps are normal. I would still be told that everyone has cramps. And the problems that I'm having with my period now, I would still be told it's because I'm getting older. And it's because I'm old. Even though I'm not old. And according to the blood test, I'm not anywhere close to being menopausal. I'm not even premenopausal. I just turned 40 not even 2 months ago. But yet, according to the doctors, I'm old, and that's why I'm having period problems. Mind you, I was told I was having period problems when I was in my late 30s. So, there you go. So, it goes to show you that it takes, they tell you average 8 to 10 years, it could take longer. Some people get diagnosed sooner, some people get diagnosed later. So there's no doubt in my mind that there are people who are not diagnosed and have it. No doubt. I strongly stand by that. And I am just honestly, you guys know me. I talk about it all the time. I do research on endometriosis all the time. Look at what's going on with it. Are they doing new things with it? Also, I tell you, I'm on in different groups on social media. So not only do I research, you know, what's going on medically, all of that, I also am in groups and hear people, other women's stories. I hear their stories, what's going on, you know, I hear, you know, their doctor stories, medication stories, all of these things. Facebook, Instagram, all of those places have groups. So, you know, you can, you know, you can join these groups and different things, and you can, for yourself, you know, see what's going on with endometriosis. How are other people being treated? You know, what are they getting, you know, are they being told the same things? Are they getting the same medical treatment? Is medical treatment different? You know, does going to a specialist give people better medical treatment? Are they just being put on the pill? Are they given a certain type of medicine? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? Some of the stories that I hear from women, or that I read from women, I guess I say, I do hear them as well. Some do reach out, just based on, you know, I have a podcast. Different things that I do reach out, so I do hear some women's stories personally as well. I do read them, but we need, not only do we need a cure, we need people who understand, not just people who will give us medicine and all of this. And I will talk about that more in my next episode as well, about my complaint with that. But I feel that it's just a mess, honestly. I don't know what needs to be done. I'm just at a loss for it. But I do share my story in the book, both books. I share my story about my journey with endometriosis. I do touch on, you know, various things in my journey. Some of it, you know, I've talked about on here. I do, you know, like I've touched on, like I touched on, you know, going to ER, because I feel like that is a pivotal moment. I feel like that ER visit changed the projection of my life in terms of endometriosis forever. That ER visit changed my life. And I did put that in the, you know, that is in the chapter in the book. That is in the chapter. That is a pivotal moment. That moment of going to the ER basically changed everything, I feel like. And it is something that is part of the story that I feel like cannot be left out. It, when we look at it from the surface, then it's like it's an ER visit. What difference can it make? How did it change your life? This and that. I mentioned it a few minutes ago. I talked about, I felt like that is why I had surgery and was officially diagnosed. That's part of it. It goes so much deeper than that. It set off, honestly, that ER visit, I feel like set off a chain of events that leads to so much more. That event set off a chain of events that leads to advocating for yourself, which leads to me having surgery, which leads to this podcast, which leads to me being an empowerment speaker, which leads to the book, which leads to me becoming a co-author of two books, as well as working on my own book. Getting the vision to do something bigger. Podcast, empowerment speaker, books, media. That's really all of that. All of that, honestly, starts with the ER visit and what that brought about, which is powerful. That you to pinpoint one moment that honestly different things happen that you can change it. So that is an important part, and that is in there. I talk about different things as well. I mean, I am honest, like I am on here. You get honesty in my chapter. I do not sugarcoat anything. Nothing is sugarcoated. Not sugarcoated on my podcast. It's not sugarcoated in the book. And I think we need to be transparent about our... I think we need to be transparent about our situation. We need to let people know how we are treated, what goes on. So I don't sugarcoat it. I talk about, you know, what happens. I talk about my, you know, I had my surgery, da da da. I talk about, I talk about the situation, you know, that go on. Nothing is sugarcoated. I, you know, mentioned that our options are mainly birth control, hysterectomy. I talk about that. Those are things, those are real things. Those are real options that we as women are given. They need to be, everyone needs to know that, When you have endometriosis, you don't have many options. You are not given many options. Your options are very, very limited. People need to know that. People need to know people need to know the truth about it. So I don't sugarcoat anything, never will, not my style. So that's what you're getting. Hope that you will pick up the book. Amazing stories from the women, not only, you know, my chapter, but the other chapters as well. But I am doing my part to spread awareness about endometriosis. If, you know, honestly, this book make a great gift for someone. Endometriosis Awareness Month is coming up. Next month, it's in March. You know, most of us listening, we are, you know, endometriosis warriors. We have friends, more than likely, and our family members who are endo warriors as well. What a great gift to give them, to show them that there is someone else out there who has endometriosis. Share the podcast with them. Let them know there's someone else out there who is talking about things that they want to know, but they don't want to talk about with other people, or maybe they don't want to talk to their doctor about. Let them know there's someone who truly cares about endometriosis and is trying to make a difference. There's a quote that I read, and I don't remember exactly who wrote it, but it says, if there's something that you want to read, you need to create it. And that really resonated with me. There are books about endometriosis out. They are technical books for the most part. But they're not really books about the journey. What truly happened? What is your journey with endometriosis? I'm still writing my book about my journey. Even if there were books about your journey with endometriosis, no one's journey is like mine. Everyone has a different journey. And my story needs to be told. And it's something that will be told. And that's just the matter. Your voice matters. Everyone's voice matters. Everyone has a story that needs to be told. And I feel like the more our voices are heard and our stories are told, then maybe we can finally get a cure for endometriosis. Maybe finally we can make a stand and people will realize what this disease is like. Maybe they will understand what toll it takes on us women. What toll does it take on you having a uterus? What is it like to have endometriosis? You can't truly explain that to someone. If someone came to me and asked me, can you explain to me what it's like to have endometriosis? I mean, I can explain it to you on some level, but on some level, I can't explain it to you. It's physical, mental, and emotional. I can't explain all of those things to you. I can explain to you what it's like to have endometriosis physically. Yes, I can explain that to you. I can explain to you some days
on how you feel emotionally and this and that. I can't explain to you per se everything that you feel mentally. And every person's different. It depends on what day it is, how bad the endometriosis is. Sometimes you feel good in the morning and you feel bad in the afternoon, or vice versa. Maybe I feel good right this minute. Maybe 10 minutes from now, I feel horrible. It's a never-ending cycle. Maybe I feel okay now. Maybe 15 minutes from now, I feel horrible. Maybe I feel okay again in an hour. Maybe I feel horrible again in 5 hours. I don't know. Every day is different. So I can't explain every single aspect of what it's like to have endometriosis to you. It's like a roller coaster. But it's never ending. It's tiring. It's something that most people don't get. There are days that are good. On your good days, you go hard. You try to get things done. You give it your all. Those are days that you enjoy. You try to pack everything in the good days. Then there are days that are okay. Your okay days, you push yourself. You still try to pack everything in. You try to do what you can. Then there are the days that are not so good days. Those are the days when you're tired and you want to rest. But you know sometimes you're not able to rest, because sometimes those not so good days end up being the days that you have a million things to do. They come at the worst possible time. You feel like you don't get everything done that you need to, that it's just, you're just not giving it your all. So those are the rough days. The days that you need to rest because your body tells you to, but a lot of us don't because we feel some type of way about, we've got to finish this. I can't rest. What will people think? I have goals I need to accomplish. I have responsibilities. I need to do this. I need to do that. So there's a lot. It's stressful. So much, so stressful, because you want to live your life a certain way, and there are days that your body just doesn't allow you to, and everyone does not understand that. And it's not your job to make everyone understand endometriosis. Yes, we'd like to make other people understand that. I told you, you know, my mission is to bring awareness about endometriosis. So I do feel like it is my job to make people understand endometriosis. It's not always an easy task, but overall, as a community, overall as endometriosis works, we should not have to have every single person understand that. We should not have to say if we're tired. We should not have people tell us, why are you tired? We should not have people make us feel bad for being tired. Personally, I take rest days, period. Certain days of the week, I just rest. And it, on some level, it's not necessarily related to my endometriosis. It's self-care. I'm doing self-care, and it's honestly just, I need to rest, because I just do. Honestly, if I want to be 100% and all of that, then I do that for me. You know, normally it seems like my endometriosis causes problems on different days, normally not my rest days. So some days, you know, my rest days do have to get switched to not the days I originally planned, but you know, that's life. But it's just like, it's hard some days, and I totally understand that. And that is the thing with chronic diseases, period. We have ups and downs, a roller coaster. But since people can't see our disease, since it's inside, we get some flack sometimes for we're not feeling well or this, that, and the other when people can't see it. That's not our fault. I can't, you know, just because it's on the inside and you can't see it does not mean it does not exist. It does not mean it's not true. It does not mean I'm not in pain. So when your body is telling you and you're having an endo flare, please take that time to rest. It is annoying when people, you know, at this point, if I need to take a rest day, you know, I will take a rest day. I apologize if that inconveniences you or whatever, but I have to take care of myself and my body first off. So, you know, that's what comes first. I know maybe not everyone can do that all the time, but if you can, I please, 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 please do it. Having an endo flare is no fun. And the harder you push yourself, the worse the flare gets. And I've noticed that I don't do it when I'm having an endo flare, although I have a little bit, but not as much. But I've noticed when you exercise more or regularly, then sometimes your endo flares are not as bad or not as constant. And that can also help with your period. But I know we've been, I don't know, I know where I've been the last, it's getting better now, but I think most of the stuff, we've been in the deep freeze, so it has not been that, it has not been a good place to go walking or whatever kind of exercise. I know we've talked about it. I'm someone who likes to walk outside and get my exercise in. I'm actually supposed to be doing some more races this year, but it was too cold to do any in January and February, so I did not do any. And we'll see how March goes, possibly. But I do have one coming up this summer that I do need to start training for. I'm doing a 10K this summer. So I do need to start getting out and training for it. So that might be something I do. Because the weather is starting to get nice. It'll be nice, you know, this weekend. And it's starting to be nice next week. So that might be something that I do to get out and do that. So that's what I'm going to do. Let's start exercising more and trying to get those layers under control as much as possible and try to get on top of them, because I feel like there are times where I can't control all of them, but like if I can. Like, I've noticed a difference. Like, I was a little more January. I don't know if, I think I did talk about it, but in January, I was a little more active, and I felt like I had a better period. This month, February, since it has been so cold, I haven't been able to be as active as I'd like to be outside. Just because of the weather and all of that, just different things going on. So I feel like my period has been a little worse. Like I've been, just basically my cramps have been worse. So I feel like exercise has really made a difference for me. So that's why I was saying try to get it under control. And it's all a matter of what your body does and if you can figure out what helps and what doesn't. And I just honestly made a list of things so I would know what to do. And I know exercise was like one of the main differences from January to February, because I wrote down and did that. And yeah, you know, that was one of the main things. And eating veggies as well. So those are the two main things that took a hit from January to February, but everything else was the same. But I feel like it's more exercise. Now, exercise may not always feel good right at the time, but I know I feel better later. And like I said, I've got to, you know, even though I could go right out there probably and walk the 10K, I decided I'm going to train and get my miles in. You know, I normally walk 5K, which is 3.1 miles, but I decided, you know, I'm probably going to up that when I start. I'm probably going to start at a 3, you know, start at the 5K, probably walk the 3 miles, but over time, I'm probably going to start walking, you know, try to up until, you know, maybe I'll start out with doing 3.5 miles, you know, work myself up to 4 miles and stuff like that to do the 6. So I'm doing more miles more consistently. And doing that, because I, you know, really like walking outside, and once the weather gets nice, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, I really feel like we need more allies in the endometriosis field. I feel like there are not many people who understand us, really, that we can talk to about different things, especially if we want to do things naturally. I feel like that is looked upon badly, like frowned upon, like most do not want to even talk about it. It's mainly, you know, medicine, medicine, medicine. So I really feel like we need an ally, someone we can talk to, even just to help, to tell us how to advocate for ourselves, just to give us something to try to help us with everything that we're doing. So, you know, I've been thinking about different things. You know, what can we do to help? What can I do to help people with endometriosis? What needs to be done? What really do we need? Like, what do I wish I had and all of that. What do I wish I had that would be helpful with endometriosis? Honestly, I wish that I had someone to talk to that had endometriosis that knew what it was about, honestly. That's really what it comes down to, is knowing someone, you could have someone to talk to you about your appointments, talk to you about, you know, just their experience. Do you know, what questions do I ask? What should I be asking my doctor? Do I need to go to a specialist? If I go to a specialist, what specialist should I go to? My doctor wants to prescribe this medicine. I'm not really sure about it. Where can I find additional information? Who's a good person to ask about this, you know, about this medication besides my doctor? Just a whole list of questions. I mean, I try to help you guys out here, but it's just like so many things. And I have been thinking, what can I do? And honestly, was talking to some lady, and, you know, she's like, what do you do? You know, I was talking about this podcast, talked about endometriosis, talked about speaking, talked about advocating for yourself and all of this, and, you know, talked about being a co-author and books and all this stuff. And it, you know, just, you know, like, I really want to help women, or, you know, anybody, people with uterus. I really want to help people with endometriosis. That is my passion. I really just want to be helpful people with endometriosis. And that's why I do my podcast, the books, all of this. So that is really my passion, because I want to do all of that. And so, you know, after talking to her and just started brainstorming, you know, the next thing I came up with is, why don't I start doing endometriosis coaching? I mean, I know about endometriosis firsthand. I do research. I know what questions to ask, this and that. I mean, I thought about doing an endometriosis class and all of that, but endometriosis coaching, I could help women with what, you know, with what their issues are with endometriosis. It's something, you know, I wish that I would have had a long time ago. Honestly, if I would have had endometriosis coaching, it would have been a life-changing for me back when I first heard the word endometriosis back in 2005. My life would be so different. So different. I can't even tell you how different it would be. My life would be with, if I would have had an endometriosis coach, someone I could talk to, and it would just be life-changing. I mean, we have all these other different coaches. We have nutritional coaches, life coaches, all these other coaches. Why don't we have an endometriosis coach? Endometriosis is so important, and our doctors really don't coach us about endometriosis. They give us a packet, but they really don't tell us how to eat healthy. They don't really tell us what things work, what things don't. I mean, it's trial and error. They don't really... You just honestly need someone to support you. So honestly, that is what my, you know, my next, honestly, venture is being an endometriosis coach. That is what I'm going to do. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to be starting it. I feel like it's something that I will definitely be good at and looking forward to it. Reach out to me if it's something that you're interested in, you have thoughts on it. We can talk about what you need help with, how often, all of that. So I am definitely looking forward to working with you and just seeing, you know, what can come about it. But I am really excited about that. And we're having new ventures all around. 2021 is the year of new ventures and just all types of fun things. And so I look forward to sharing more about my new endometriosis coaching business, but I just wanted to share a tad bit about it. I'm going into Endometriosis Awareness Month and just talk about all the great things I have going on. Also, since it's Endometriosis Awareness Month, I am going to, and I need to post that on there as well. I will be donating a portion of sales I will be donating a portion of sales that I make in the month of March, both from jewelry and from my books, to endometriosis, both to endometriosis organizations. There are a couple organizations in endometriosis, so I'll be making donations to them as well to support endometriosis research. We need a cure. They do a lot of research and all of this, so I will be doing the organizations, and so that's what I'm going to be doing. So I'm going to, you know, books, jewelry, so, you know, jewelry sales, book sales, month of March, portion of donations going to endometriosis foundations and organizations. There are a couple organizations that I have in mind, and I just need to see exactly how they take it, and then, you know, I'll be sharing more information about that. So, as always, thank you for listening to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. My next episode will be on Saturday, March 13th. We'll be in Endometriosis Awareness Month. So excited. And at that time, I didn't get to it today, at that time, I will talk about my January doctor's appointments I had too. We'll follow up on those and let you know how things went with those. Talk about more Endometriosis Awareness Month. They have some different events coming up. We'll talk about that. And as always, all things endometriosis. Hope you have an amazing day. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, let me know if you would like to talk about endometriosis coaching. Be sure to check out the website for the books, author/Letitia, letysha.square.site. My jewelry is on there too, standoutstylejewelry.square.site. Have an amazing day. Can't wait to talk to you later. Bye.